Hey friends, in our off weeks from This Queer Book Saved My Life, we are going to air episodes of The Gaily Show. And on the show, we celebrate LGBTQ culture and entertainment based in Minnesota, but also with LGBTQ entertainment headlines from the US and beyond. So here is a new episode of The Gaily Show. Welcome to The Gaily Show, coming to you from the studios of AM950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I am your host, JP Derek Bogosian. I am really excited about today's episode because we have pop dance recording artist Jeff Gavin with us here today. So Jeff, welcome to The Gaily Show.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everyone.
And congratulations to you on your new album, Magic. Tell us all about it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to finally have my album out into the world. It is indeed called Magic. I've been working on this album for the past 5 years. It's truly been a labor of love, a constant effort, and so much fun as well. But the album is finally out. It came out on the 22nd of March. And I had a big album release party at the Green Room in Minneapolis, where I did the full album and I did some older tracks. I had backup dancers and visuals and we did custom cocktails and it was really such a great time.
You had an album release.
I had an album release. Yeah, it was a lot of fun and it went great. I didn't mess up any of the choreography. I didn't fall. Didn't forget any lyrics. So I'm really happy with how it went.
Well, that's very special. So tell us a little bit about the type of music that is on the show. We're going to play some clips from it coming up here. But tell us a little bit about the type of music you love to create.
Absolutely. So I've always been a dance pop artist, and this album is absolutely dance pop. I think it's some of the best songs that I've ever written. It's a very personal album, however, although it is dance pop music. I feel like these lyrics are really, really personal to me and definitely the most that I've ever put of myself into my writing. So, but it's definitely dance pop music. So it's music to get you out on the floor, to club too, to blast in your car. But it definitely is still personal music to me as well. Oh, you wanna hang out? It's 3 a.m. Just got a text. Here we go again. Oh, you wanna make out? But you say we're friends. What's that all about? Just don't tell your girlfriend. This always seems to happen when you've had a couple drinks. My friends say that you're sucking, that you ghost me next week. But I don't really care about what other people think when I see any flash on my screen.
One of my favorites on the album is You Up.
Oh, yes. Yes, me as well. Actually, that's one of my top favorites as well. Thank you so much.
Well, tell us about... So you're saying that it's personal. So what were the things that you wanted to talk about with folks on this album?
Yeah, so this album, I really wanted to just kind of lay everything out on the floor. I've had a lot of experiences over the years, and I wanted this album to be able to tell kind of all of those stories in one. So the way that I kind of planned it, I wanted the album to take you from the beginning of a night out, kind of to the morning after your night out, and all the things that happen in between that, but also within each song. I've drawn from many personal experiences that have happened to me over the years. So maybe one song might be about one experience or one song might be about four experiences that I decided to blend into one. But it's definitely all things that I've dealt with personally and hopefully can help other people in some way by listening to the tunes. So it's personal in that way. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I did get some Prince vibes.
You know, I have so many inspirations for this album. He is definitely one of my favorite artists. I sing for a bunch of funk bands in the Twin Cities, so Prince is embedded into me now. So I'm sure that there's going to be some influence from him in there. I drew from so many artists creating this album. A lot of early 2000s pop artists I drew from, Britney and I love Beyonce, so layering harmonies and things like that was very important to me as well. I listened to a lot of Seal during the pandemic, so I feel like his influences are on the album as well. And another one of my big pandemic bands was Bananarama. And so the girls are still making crazy good dance music today. They're so fun, and it's just fun pop music. And so a lot of their influence, I feel, is also all over the album. Maybe a little Adam Lambert in there. And so I like all styles, all genres.
Definitely you do. The title is named Magic. How did you come up with that title?
Yeah. So how did I come up with that title? So originally the album was going to be called Space Sex. That was, I was set with the name. That was it. Like, I wanted it to have a futuristic sound, and I knew I was going to be talking about sex throughout the entire album. So it just seemed perfect. But then I wrote the title song, which is Magic. And I feel like the rest of the album really stems off of what I'm talking about in that opening track, Magic. And so I just felt like it was appropriate to encapsulate the whole thing. Also, I feel like a lot of the experiences that I talk about in the album were magical experiences, maybe at the time or looking back. I felt like it tied in well and still had kind of that futuristic, spacey vibe to the title. So that's why I went with Magic.
Yeah. The album cover, by the way, is sublime. Like, did you design the album cover?
I did. Yes. I came up with the concept myself. And you know, it's really funny. It's not until after I unveiled the album art that someone showed me that Kid Cudi album cover from the early 2000s that he's also kind of imprinted on a moon in a way, but it's different. So I definitely came up with the concept by myself. I took the picture by myself. I had a little help with editing from one of my friends, Burko, on some of the shadows and shading on my face. But everything else I did on my phone and put it together, and I thought it came out really well. So thank you for seeing that.
Oh, loved it. Loved it. It was the first thing that I was like, oh my gosh, look at this album cover.
I wanted it to be attention grabbing.
It is. It is. It very much is. It definitely caught my eye. Tell us, how did you get into music? When did you first start learning?
Oh man. So I have been doing music for as long as I can remember, ever since I was very small. I think my mom and dad realized that music was kind of going to be my thing. And they signed me up for lessons very early on. So I was in kindergarten. Music lessons is when I began. And I joined my first choir in first grade. And I did every choir and everything that I possibly could. I was in community theater all throughout middle school. I did the theater in high school. I did marching band in high school, the wind ensemble. Wow. So I was always involved in music, and I knew that it was just something that I absolutely had to do. I had no other goals in life ever than to be a musician. So, through the lessons and all of that, I ended up going off to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And ooh, I majored in vocal performance. Yeah. Great school, great city. I majored in vocal performance there. I ended up moving back to Delaware for a little bit, where I'm initially from. And then we ended up moving to Minnesota, where I currently live in St. Paul. And this is where my professional career, I would say, really began. I finished my degree at McNally Smith College of Music, and I began gigging professionally my sophomore year with one of the funk bands in town, Free and Easy Band. We're in the Minnesota Music Hall of Fame, and we do all the Prince and Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson you could want. And so I stayed for that, and my family also lives here. I've worked for Carnival Cruise Lines, singing on ships. So I was in the rock band for a couple of years pre-pandemic on Carnival. I've done a bunch of things. I sing for a bunch of different bands in town. I have my own cover band, the Jeff Gavin Band, and we play at a lot of different bars and things around. And I also tour with 2-time world champion a cappella group Six Appeal. So I sing bass for them, and we tour the nation and the world bringing a cappella to you. So that's kind of my music deal right now, aside from my album. It's a lot. I know. Sorry. That was probably a lot at once.
When do you sleep?
Sometimes, on occasion. Yeah.
Wait, so how many instruments do you play?
So predominantly I'm a singer, but I can play piano. And that's where I would say that I stop instrumentally I played drums a little bit in high school. I was on the drum line in marching band. But overall, I can play piano, but singing is definitely my main thing. But I will say, I do have enough piano skills that I do lay out all of my demos for all of my songs before I send them to a producer. So all of the ideas are mine. I come up with them myself, and I lay out a full demo, all instruments stacked, and I send that to a producer to flesh out. And then I'm fully involved in the production side of things when it comes to tweaks and ideas and adding in things as we go along. So I'm a hands-on artist, despite being a vocalist. I feel like vocalists get a bad rap sometimes, like, oh, just a singer. But no, you got to be more than a singer. You got to be involved, which I definitely say that I am fully hands-on.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got to have that creative control.
You do.
Speaking of creative control, what do you think is a queer aesthetic or a queer take on the music scene right now?
Reword that for me.
No, yeah. What are queer folks, do you feel, bringing into music? Like, what is a queer perspective?
Yeah. So I feel like overall, queer music has come so far. It's being so much more widely accepted by everyone everywhere. Even, I don't know, 10 years ago, I feel like there weren't nearly this many LGBT plus artists out. I feel like especially in the African American scene, I see a lot more male artists coming out, and it inspires me because I want to push myself to be just like them. I had a friend from Berkeley, Vincent, who's doing incredible things in the community. We've got guys like Todrick Hall who are blowing, you know, the lid off the community. It's really impressive. And to see the general public adapt lingo and things like that. We even have drag queens having singles that the general public is accepting and loving. And so it's really funny to see the progression, and also really exciting to see the progression. And now we have, you know, even JoJo Siwa now releasing her single Karma with her new rebrand kind of taking over. It's really impressive. It's impressive and cool to see. So I think there's a bright future for LGBT music. I think it's really exciting. So
do you have a queer diva that is, you know, there's so many, who is your musical diva? Is it like Celine, Madonna, Cher, Whitney?
My diva is Beyonce. Has always been, will always be. All my social media tags that aren't my music are Jafonse, because I'm just so into her. I think she can do it all. She's so versatile. She's in charge of her craft. She's so much more than a singer. She likes to be that hands-on artist. And so that's what I really look up to. Not to mention her insane performance skills that I try to model my whole life after. So yeah, Beyonce is my favorite.
Well, do you like the new album?
I love the new album. Yeah. I wasn't sure what I was going to think. I mean, I do love country. My dad raised me on country music, so I'm not new to this. But I just wasn't sure what we were going to get. And it ended up being a pretty beautiful work of art. So I've been enjoying that a lot.
That's wonderful. Yeah, it was. I didn't know either. I was like, what's going to happen here? And it was, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it made me think, like, what can't Beyonce do? Like, seriously, at this point, like, what?
Well, put out visuals, apparently. Well, wait.
And I mean, is it an added bonus that it's driving, you know, everyone at MAGA conservatives absolutely insane? Yes,
they're going
nuts.
Added
bonus too.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the comment sections a little bit here and there, you know, just putting in my two cents. But I do love to see the ripple effect. It's been rather exciting, and she's just getting started. So,
just getting started. Yeah. Are there queer musical artists that you're super digging right now that you'd recommend to listeners?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. One of my favorites that I feel like he's kind of taking over a little bit right now is Z Machine. He's on TikTok is where I discovered him. And he has a very like 80s, like synth pop aesthetic to him. And he has kind of the mullet going on, which is like very sexy. And he puts out just unabashed pop music, and he has crazy vocals. His writing is so good, and his harmonies are so good. And I think I mentioned him earlier. My old friend Vincent, he had an anthem of pride a couple of years ago called Higher, with Alex Newell, that kind of took over. He was on that singing show The Four with Meghan Trainor, and his performance of Creep went absolutely viral. And ever since then, he has capitalized on every single moment. He's been performing everywhere. So please look out for him on tour and at Pride's this year, because he is incredible. Also, pop dance music that you will really love.
Yeah. How do you describe your aesthetic?
Ooh, I feel like that's something I'm still figuring out. For my release party, I did a whole thing. I installed a wig, and I was wearing these mesh pants that were see-through. But I definitely think futuristic chic. But I also like retro, so I like the 80s as well. I mean, you'll see I'm wearing this puffer vest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Throwback futuristic chic. Let's go with that for now as I figure it out.
Yeah. Throwback futuristic chic.
I take a lot of inspiration from, like, Powerline from Goofy Movie and, like, Protozoa from Xenon. Like, if you think about that, that's, like, what I'm aiming for in my, like, my whole life.
Music has been so instrumental, I think, in providing a space for queer community to build community, to have solace, to express ourselves. Given the moment that we're in, right, which is this blossoming on one end of all and this acceptance of queer musicians and queer music, and then at the same time, like, you know, every year seems to be, this is the year with the most anti-LGBTQ legislation or book bans or, you know, them coming for us. And so what would you like to see happen in queer music right now to help build the community, heal the community, like get us to, you know, not just respond to what's happening, but to that next level?
You know what I feel would help is a little less division between fans of these artists. I feel like there's a lot of spaces to come together and celebrate, you know, your artist with your fans of your artist. But I feel like there's a lot of division in who people, like, I don't know how to describe this. I feel like what I'm trying to say is a little more unity. I feel like in the community itself would probably help lift everyone up. We had a saying in my old vocal department, the rising tide lifts all boats, which I thought was really, really nice. And I feel like that could apply to music in the community as well. I feel like there's a lot of hate still, despite there being so much love. I think that's what I was trying to go with. Yeah.
What is some advice that you'd give to young musicians that are in the early parts of their career?
Absolutely. I would say stay in those lessons. I know it's sometimes a pain. I also teach private lessons during the week. I've got 14 private students for a voice and beginning piano. And I always tell them, you know, it's not an overnight process. It's something that you have to work at and be hungry for and really desire and want in your life. You have to be obsessed with it to reach the level that you want to reach. And a lot of my students, you know, are 9, 10 years old. And I'm like, look, by the time you reach your teens, you should already be like ready to go, like knowing what you want, right? So maybe that's a little bit of an intense view, but I just say, keep going with lessons. Stay focused. If you really want to do music, do music. Get involved in as many things as you can. Go to your summer camps. Do theater. Listen to as many different kind of genres that you can and as many different kind of artists as you can, so you can absorb so many different styles into your own, so then you can output it as your own product. Learn from the greats. Study it all. And I think that's my advice.
Study. What is your writing process like?
Okay, yeah. My writing process varies. I would say that it usually starts with either a baseline or a melody line that comes to me in my head. Usually happens when I'm in the shower or in the car. So usually I have to quickly grab my phone. I record into voice notes, whatever, you know, whatever melody I have in my head. And then when I, you know, I listen to it probably over the next day or so, start maybe even applying lyrics to it. Sometimes the line doesn't even have a lyric. Maybe it's just a melody. And I'll start, ooh, that would work. Like, that's cool. So I usually start building off of a chorus. Then once I have like kind of a general idea of how I want things to sound, that's when I start writing out my lyrics. And I usually do that in my notes on my phone. Very simple, very easy. And once I have kind of my lyrics and structure of the song laid out, that's when I go to start making a demo, in Logic. So I figure out what key I want the song to be in. I figure out what speed I want it to be. And I lay down probably a bass line first or a beat first in the program. And then I build on the demo from there. And once I have the instrumental part down, I'll record my vocals and background vocals. I like to say that they're kind of the trial vocals, but I'm so picky with them. They usually end up being final vocals. And then I'll send the project off to someone who's better equipped, a full producer, to kind of take matters into his hands. And I give, you know, full notes and references and the demo itself. And he will construct, or she will construct, the demo for me. And once it's sent back to me, I give notes or make tweaks, or maybe a new synth lines come to me over the week that I want to add in. And so I'll send notes back, and we'll do this back and forth for probably longer than they prefer. And then we and then we get the song done. Yeah, it's a process, but I love it very much. I love being a part of the genesis to the end of the song. So
I am a nerd about digital audio workstations, and I always love hearing which ones folks use. So you use Logic?
I'm a Logic guy. I find it the easiest to use for me. I try Pro Tools. I could not figure it out. And I just simply do not have the other programs. So Logic is what I love.
Pro Tools. I like the idea of Pro Tools. And I feel like eventually at one point I'm going to have to learn Pro Tools. But I'm just in like the podcasting and radio space. So I don't know how much it's actually going to, you know, and for that I use Reaper, because Pro Tools, oh my God, like it takes up so much computing power. You have to shut everything down to use it, you know. That's what I love about Reaper. It's good, I feel like, for podcasters, you know, who aren't doing a lot of like obviously the production side of what you're doing, but sure. I could, you know, nerd out about digital audio workstations elsewhere. So it's, you know, we're here at the first weekend of May. How can folks, where are you performing this summer?
Yeah, so I'm performing all over the place this summer. If we want to stick to my original music, my very next show is at Lush Lounge on May 17th. I've been offered to put on my own show at Lush, and I'm so excited. I have a new opener. Her name is Slavana Davis, another pop dance artist out of the cities. And we also have DJ Palm Butta on the bill, who is a house music DJ who is going to absolutely bring down the house, no pun intended, at the end of the night. And in between, I'll be doing my full album as well as a couple of other tunes with my backup dancers. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So you should come out to Lush Lounge on the 17th of May.
Fantastic. And how do folks connect with you on social?
If you want to find me, you can find me at Jeff Gavin Music. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and that's where you can find me, and that's where I will post all of my updates of what's to come.
Well, I love this. Jeff Gavin, you are a friend of The Gailey Show. So whenever you've got new music coming out, you have a standing invitation to come back here. We'll talk all about it.
I enjoyed this very much.
I'm addicted to your love, and I just can't get enough. I'm addicted to your love, and I just can't get enough. I'm addicted to your love. I know that you're good for me, but your love is fire, baby. And when you look at me, I blush.
Now open at the Walker Art Center is Keith Haring Art is for Everybody, a major exhibition on the life and work of queer artist Keith Haring. This exhibition features more than 100 of his artworks, including video from his residency that he had at the Walker 40 years ago. My executive producer, Jim Pounds, and I, we got to attend the media preview. And while we were there, we got to talk to the senior curator at the Walker, Siri Engberg, the curator and exhibitions manager at the Broad in Los Angeles, Sarah Lawyer, and Gil Vasquez, the executive director of the Keith Haring Foundation. Here they are on what the exhibit means and their thoughts.
I'm excited to show audiences the breadth of Keith Haring's practice and to really let people see that beyond what they may recognize as the radiant baby or the barking dog and those images that are really suffusing popular culture, you're also seeing an artist who is a passionate activist, who was involved in many social issues, but who was also someone who just celebrated life and community and collaborative energy with other artists. So I think it's a show that really shows us an artist who was a real catalyst in bringing people together and making change.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I have to sing Siri's praises. It looks really, really great here. And I'm just really thrilled for the exhibition to reach this additional audience here in Minneapolis. I think the whole thing came together really well, but I love the additional touch, local touch of highlighting Keith's residency here and the mural and the work that he did with youth, because that was such an important part of his practice also. Everywhere he went, no matter where he was invited for an exhibition, he would always find public space to do something out in the public for the public, and always made time to work with kids and really foster that creative spirit in young people, and I think that's just so important.
What it means to me is I'm a huge fan of full circle moments. So to think of Keith as a young 20-something coming here for a residency in 1984 when he was not yet the full-blown Keith Haring, and then to see what he became, all of what he accomplished is in a sense condensed in this show all these years later. So from 1984 to 2024, it's a beautiful full circle moment, and we're here to celebrate Keith. You know, I grew up in New York City. I first encountered the work on the subway. I didn't have exactly the context of what it was, because he was using ad space, and New Yorkers for the most part try to tune that kind of thing out, but these drawings drew your eye, and they were mysterious. They were not signed. It was not selling something. So that's my first exposure to Keith Haring. I later learned about him. I saw his work on the cover of a Malcolm McLaren album. I found out that he had worked with Run DMC. I was a huge fan of Run DMC. I knew about the Pop Shop. So there were all these things that were part of the zeitgeist, that were part of the current culture that he was involved in. So that's, you know, he didn't give you a choice. He was forcing you to notice him. Well, interestingly, in 1989, Keith asked me to be a part of this foundation. And my question at age 19 was, what is a foundation? He explained it was a way for us, the people that he chose, to continue his generosity and to further his legacy. And I am grateful that, 34 years later, I get to do that for a living.
Keith Haring, Art is for Everybody, is open through September 8th, 2024. For tickets and free events, go to walkerart.org. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks everyone for listening and or watching on YouTube. Our podcasts are executive produced by Jim Pounds, creative and accounting support provided by Gordy Erickson, production, distribution, and marketing support provided by Brett Johnson, Chad Larson, Laura Hedlund, and Jennifer Ogren from AM950. You can find us on social media. Search for This Queer Book Saved My Life on Facebook. On Instagram, we're at This Queer Book, and we are at the_Gailey Show. Follow us on Instagram. We post preview interview clips from upcoming episodes before they air on the radio. For The Gailey Show, check out our YouTube channel, unless you're watching us there right now. We're also on AM950's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And as always, you can connect with us through our website, thisqueerbook.com. On our website, you can leave me a voice message of the current LGBTQ books, films, or TV you're loving right now. And if you send me a message, I will play it on the air to share with our community. And if you have LGBTQ entertainment news with a Minnesota angle, email gaileyshow@thisqueerbook.com. And until our next episode, see you queers and allies in the bookstores.